thank you, George, for some more startling comments. I call on our next discussant, whom you may have realized is Gordon Tullock, who is currently visiting at Carnegie Mellon, but normally holds forth as a distinguished fellow at the Institute for the Advanced Study of Buchanan and Tullock.
I am making a strong effort to get the name of that institute changed to the Institute for the Study of Tullockism. But for some obscure reason, Buchanan, who has a narrow, egotistical approach to many things, seems to object to this change. I'd like to begin by making a comment on my preceding commentator, which is that I agree with Professor Stigler that the development of the field has been disappointing. I'm willing to argue that Public Choice is a more stimulating journal than most of the journals in either economics or political science, and that we make more progress than most of them. But the fact remains we make a lot less progress than I had hoped at the beginning. In part, this is, of course, due to the fact we still have a rather small collection of people involved. Most of them, like myself and Stigler, are self-taught, with the result that they, in many cases, don't have a very broad perspective. They've learned some area in it. But another point is simply that it is very difficult. And I think both empirical and theoretical developments are necessary. Some of the examples you gave were excellent. I should say, as editor of the journal in the field, that I have a policy of accepting poorer quality empirical articles, as my cutoff level for empirical articles is much lower than my cutoff level for theoretical articles. But in spite of that, I end up almost exclusively with theoretical articles, because even with this effort to encourage what you might call poor empirical work, I don't even get that. Very much of it, I get some. And I shouldn't, by the way, emphasize that gives the impression that all of the empirical articles I published are poor. This isn't true. But it is true that, let's say, the worst empirical article I published, I think, is of lower quality than the worst theoretical article, and we'll let various people decide which is which. So to continue with, drop that comment and turn to the paper itself, it's an exercise in what Kenneth Golding calls economics imperialism, and I call economic imperialism. The effort of economics to take over everything. And there are reasons given. Professor Stigler, of course, are correct in the area. And in essence, it is a new invention. It's sort of astonishing as a new invention. And in fact, as in so many other areas in economic thought, I thought originally that it had been invented by Adam Smith and had to read an article by Stigler to realize it hadn't. You may remember his demonstration that Ricardo did not believe in the labor theory of value. Well, I'd always thought Adam Smith had this attitude with respect to, and the change had occurred after Adam Smith, but not true. Once again, I had to learn that for Stigler. But it is essentially a new invention, and it hasn't yet penetrated much outside of economics, so I must say the membership of the Public Choice Society is now beginning to become dominated by political scientists, whereas it used to be almost entirely economists. There now are more political scientists in the society than there are economists, which I regard as a hopeful trend. And we're beginning to get fairly big figures of a rather classical nature turning up, classical political science nature turning up at our annual meetings. This is partly the result of missionary activity on the part of the last two presidents of the Public Choice Society, but I think partly it does indicate a growth in the area. But I'd like, instead of talking about public choice or the paper, to turn to another issue, which is really the intellectual history of political science in the last 50 years. In the 1920s, a development which has become named behavioralism developed in political science. That is, people began using empirical methods to test hypotheses. I would say, in general, they not tended to invent the hypotheses after they'd run their empirical test. But in any event, they began doing this work in the 1920s. And it seems to me this was a, on the whole, desirable thing for them to do, except for the fact that they did so badly. And they've continued doing it so badly. I trust I'm not stepping on anybody's toes when I say that. But what actually happened was a methodological dispute developed at this time between the people who wanted to do this and people who maintained that it was actually illegitimate. Now, they didn't maintain that the work was very bad and that most of the original work was trivial, both of which would have been comments, would have been honest and correct comments. They actually said it shouldn't be done. And the result of this is that a debate in political science, which has run on for the last 30 years between the behaviorists and the anti-behaviorists, shall we say. Now, as time goes by, the anti-behaviorists get older and older on the whole. They're young ones, but on the whole get older and older. And the behaviorists have gradually been taking over. I think to a considerable extent this is due simply to the fact that it's easier to write a behaviorist doctoral dissertation than a doctoral dissertation of the other sort. But in any event, this debate has occurred, and unfortunately there's also in political science a very small collection of people who in the European terms would be called liberals, but in American terms are called conservatives. And unfortunately, almost all of this small group were in the anti-behaviorist camp. The result of this has been a general feeling among a lot of people that the conservatives have to be against the use of empirical research in political science. Now, being against empirical research, in a sense, you don't think the stuff that now fills the journals is very good, which, by the way, is much better than what 10 years ago. That's not saying very much, but it is much better than what 10 years ago. It is different from just objecting to it on principle. Well, the result of this is that a good many people of conservative bent in political science automatically classify the economists who are now in the process of trying to take over political science as sort of extreme behaviorists. And I might say a lot of the behaviorists feel the same way. They see what you might say these insignia of their work. I mean, I'm not very mathematical by economic standards, but by political science standards, I'm very mathematical. And they observe I have equations in my articles, and they can't understand them, so they come to the conclusion that they must be behaviorists of an extreme sort. Actually, what is happening, however, is a new development, correctly described by Bill as a incursion of economics into the field. But it has had the characteristic that it happens that this particular incursion, I think partly for good scientific reasons and partly for accident, has had a tendency to be of somewhat conservative character too, or liberal in the European term. The discovery that government doesn't generate virtue automatically does tend to lead to a certain amount of skepticism about the desire to have government do things as opposed to the scheme. Second meeting of what became the Public Choice Society happened to be held during the Goldwater campaign. There were only 20 of us, and two-thirds of them favored Goldwater. Well, it would have been very hard to find another collection of academics at that time with even one-third on that side. And these had not been selected with anything except scholarly schemes. So there has been what I would have thought should be a quite sympathetic development from the standpoint of people who we call conservative, actually is frequently opposed, simply because of this hangover from the previous methodological debate. And I suspect, I may be wrong, but I suspect, for example, that even here, a good many of you had difficulty following Professor Niskanen's paper. Now, the first part of his paper, when he was talking about the things he didn't think were important, I think we must concede was cryptic and quick. You had to know the field to realize what he was talking about. But when he turned to discussing what he was interested in, the public choice aspect of the matter, it seemed to me that he did an extremely good job of presenting a number of important things simply. And yet I suspect there are a good many people in the audience who will regard my remark to that effect as simply perverse, that they did have, because of the fact it is so new and because it has all these insignia of being sort of on the behaviorist side and therefore anti-conservative. I don't know whether that is true. I offer as a guess. Well, in any event, we are today engaging in missionary activity, and we hope that if there are people who feel this way, we're going to convert them.